Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Ah, thank you very much, and welcome all to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I think the volume is a little bit too loud on this. We're going to try and do it anyway. Anyway, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago. It is summer is over, folks. I believe Thursday is the last day, but it feels like it today. Actually, it doesn't feel like it today, but there's no doubt about it. The days are getting shorter, and that's always a bummer. But I'm going to say this again, and I've said this on several shows, several episodes of this show, is that this has been one of the greatest summers, at least in the city of Chicago, that I've ever known. This is one of the greatest summers, and I'm kind of sad to see it go, even though it still feels like summer, but the days are just, shorter. Excuse me. The days are shorter. But it still feels like summer because I'm by the lake on the north side of Chicago, by the lake. I'm by the lake, if I can say it. I'm drinking coffee. I'm by the lake on the north side of Chicago. And usually when you're living by the lake, there's a breeze coming off the lake. But there's nothing coming off the lake because it's humid. And it feels like summer. It feels like one of those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. And this is what it feels like today. And it's marvelous. Like I said, this is one of the greatest summers. And I've been on the earth for a long time. And this is one of the greatest summers. Sometimes you just feel kind of awful that you really can't enjoy the days like you want to. The summer is just, it's not been wasted. We have not wasted this summer. We've gotten out and enjoyed ourselves. And we benefited greatly from this weather. It's been great. And one of the things is, and another thing is on this day, particular day, Monday, the Bears are playing, the Chicago Bears football team. They're playing the Philadelphia Philadelphia Eagles on Monday Night Football. And instead of feeling like fall or a little bit of winter, you know, they're going to be sweating their asses off. I mean, it's going to be hot and muggy and stuffy at Soldier Field tonight. And I don't think the Bears, I don't think they're used to this type of weather, playing in this type of weather. But it's pretty nice, and it's getting kind of scary too. But, you know, I believe later on in the week, the temperature is going to drop down into the 60s, but that remains to be seen. Anything can change by then. And one of my guests on my show not too long ago, she said it most beautifully. These weather forecasters in the United States, they cannot get this right. I want to say another word, but they cannot get this right. That's why, you know, a lot of us around here, we're just, the weather is what it is. We're just dealing with the way it is. And it's been great. It's been wonderful. And you are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, 347-857-1762, WTTTY, out of Chicago. We have been off for a few days. I've been doing writing. I've been doing a little editing on some of my material on Amazon.com. And, you know, sometimes every now and then I'll review what I have up there, and I'll check it out and try to get rid of some of the mistakes, because I make them. I'm not human, but I do know that I love writing, and most of my stuff is pretty good. But we all make mistakes. I mean, even some of the best writers of all time, you know, and we hire editors and proofreaders, but sometimes these guys, they don't do a good job, you know, so you have to take matters into your own hand. And the thing about it, some of these editors and proofreaders and people like that who want to edit your material, they do a worse job of it than you do, and they want your money. They want you to pay them for it. So why pay somebody to do something you can do for yourself? All you got to do is just take your time. And that's what I'm doing. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Our guest today, my board up here says author Cam Baker. And more commentary on the George Wilder Jr. Show. So let's get started at 6:06, 5 minutes after six, or 6 minutes, seven. It doesn't matter. It's not yet 10 after 6 p.m. in Chicago. And I'm looking at something on the computer here. It says Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey knew that his close associates, people who work around him, were involved in a plan to shut down lanes leading to the George Washington Bridge as it was happening, and that the closings were intended to punish a local mayor for declining to support him. Prosecutors said on Monday. If you remember back a few months, they called it Bridgegate. You know, a lot of people were after saying that Christie was responsible, and he knew about this Bridgegate on the George Washington Bridge, where it interrupted a lot of travel. They shut it down. They closed it down. Traffic had actually stopped. And they were questioning Christie, and he was emphatically denying that he had anything to do with it. And a lot of us were saying, hey, wow, you're the governor of New Jersey. And these people, the people who work for you around you, were doing this, and you didn't know anything about this. You didn't know what your flunkies and minions were doing, the people who are on your payroll. You didn't know what they were doing. And the prosecutors and the defense attorneys are now saying that Christie had something to do with it. Governor Christie of New Jersey had a lot to do with shutting down a very popular and crowded bridge in New Jersey, the George Washington Bridge. I mean, look at it this way. If you are coming home from work and you take the expressway home every night, you take the express, all of a sudden it's shut down. Everything stops. You can't move. You're on it for minutes, hours, you know, and you can't move. because the governor shuts it down because he's pissed off at somebody else who is not supporting him. Now, that's a damn shame. That's an impeachment offense. I'm pretty sure that the people of that state, they're going to start impeachment proceedings against Chris Christie. There is no doubt this has to happen because at this moment, at this time, Chris Christie is a lapdog for Donald Trump. I mean, Chris Christie lies through his fat teeth. I mean, he's a lapdog for Donald Trump. Okay, it was the first time Mr. Christie, a Republican, has been accused of knowing about the scheme as it unfolded. I don't think this is the first time he's been accused of it. I think it's about time that other people, prosecutors, defense attorneys, dug deeper and found out about it. You know, I always knew he had something to do with it. And there's people in that state who also knew that this guy had something to do with shutting down that bridge and complicating things for the motorists, the drivers on that bridge. There was an ambulance driver, a few ambulance drivers and fire trucks. I believe they were saying something if they were trying to get to a fire or, you know, a heart attack victim or something, shutting down that bridge and slowing things up. They probably would have, a lot of people probably would have died because of that. And I am totally glad that they found this guy out, and the legislature in that state should immediately start impeachment proceedings against this rogue governor, Chris Christie. The prosecutors made the assertion during the opening statements in a trial of two former Christie administration officials charged with closing the lanes in 2013 and then covering it up and then hiding the facts and lying, saying that Chris Christie had nothing to do with it. And now it's been totally proven that this guy had everything to do with those bridge closing in the state of New Jersey. And there are so many people who are commenting on this. Christie should be impeached, sued for the taxpayer money he spent hiring people to lie about this. You know, so we're gonna hear a lot more about this in the coming days. This is big. This is get big. Okay, and as always, Mr. Christie has insisted that he had no knowledge of this plot to close the lanes and said that he did not recall being told about the closings while they were happening. A lie. That's a total lie. You know, I mean, it's being proven now that it's a lie. So it's being proven by. So you don't have to take my word for it that it's a lie. You ask the lawyers, the prosecutors, you ask the people of that state, and they will tell you the same thing, that the guy lied through his teeth. And there is no way this guy can continue on as governor of New Jersey. You know, I mean, defense attorneys have also said that Mr. Christie knew about this. He knew about it. But the statement on Monday, today, was striking in that it was the prosecutors confirming this or that assertion. Wow, this is going to be a bomb. This is a bombshell. It's not going to be one. It is one. So this guy should be out of office if somebody doesn't find another loophole to let this guy stay on as governor when it's been proven that he has been a part of this in a big way. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It looks like it's going to rain, folks, in the city of Chicago. If it does, it'll just cool us off because it is really muggy. All right, let's go to the phones. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead. Welcome. You're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. All righty. 1, 2, 3, 4. Bye-bye. All right. Sometimes people call. They just linger on the phone. They don't say anything, but I know they're there, and they know they're there. So, you know, and I just really can't keep holding somebody on who will not say hello you know, things like that. All right, we will be right back. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thanks. Stick around. All right, we are back. We are having a great time, folks. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago. And you can, if you can't listen to the show live, you can always podcast the show. Go to my website, Block Talk Radio, and there's 200, 300 something podcasted shows of this show, and they're all great. They're all wonderful, beautiful guests, wonderful guests, knowledgeable guests, and we're all talking about one of the same thing, making the world a better place. That's all it's about. Let's go back to the phones. Maybe we'll get an answer this time. You are on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
George Wilder Jr., this is Cammy Baker. You and I are having some kind of fun interview about making the world a better place this evening, I believe.
Yeah. I've got you on my boards, author, but you're Cam Baker. You're just like C-A-M, Cam Baker, you know? So yeah, I was expecting you, but like when people call in, you know, it's hard to tell, but you know, anyway, welcome to the show and tell the world a little bit about yourself. Give us your bio and how you are out there trying to help the world make the world a better place.
Well, the way that I like to help the world be a better place is from being a professional networker and going out to business functions and networking. Just thousands and thousands of events, George, I've been to in the last 15 years. And so little by little, as I work with people and I help them to create their income, their influence, their impact by being able to communicate, conversate, and collaborate in such a way that they can create the income, influence, and impact, and helping them get out of their own way, helping them to be able to create conversations, give a good first impression, conversations that are interesting, teaching them how to follow up. It's an epidemic of people that go early in the morning to these events. They take their lunch hour, they go to events, they go out late at night, leave the kids with a babysitter, they go to these networking events, and they never follow up. I don't get it. So I'm making the world a better place, one person at a time, helping them to pick up the phone and follow up, for God's sake. Yes, that's what I do.
Wow, that is great. That sounds wonderful. And welcome aboard. And because we're all out here for the same thing, you know, because I don't think if I can get out here and help people try to help themselves, I wouldn't be on this show. You know, I mean, we've got to help people because, you know, most people are lazy and most people don't want to do anything. Like you said, most people don't know how to, maybe they're too busy to deal with the networking aspect of it. But how would you said something about first impression. How would you get someone who never made a first impression to make a first impression, especially let's say on a new job or something, an interview? How would they make that first impression?
It's funny that you use the word being too busy, because there's a difference in being busy and being productive, right? Yeah. And people go through, I'm too busy, making excuses. You know, now that you've brought it up that people are lazy, hey, listen, that happens, right? And a lot of times there's a lot of excuses happening out there. But, you know, to get back to your question, to make a good first impression has a lot to do, you know, We are communicating, George, long before we're conversating, way before we open our mouths. Our bodies are screaming to people. So our body language, our communication is very predominant as we enter a room, even in our communication when we are sending an email, when we are on Facebook, because this bleeds over into social media. It bleeds into being on the phone, just like we are right now. You know, but even before we got on the phone to conversate, we communicated first. And there has to be some level of professionalism. There has to be some level of courtesy with another human being in the communication in order to be able to conversate, in order to be able to collaborate, in order to be able to create the income, influence, and impact. Because what we all have in common, my friend, is we all want, in one form or another, income, influence, and or impact. You have a radio broadcast here. You are having a huge impact. You can't have an impact unless you got some influence. And you can't have a lot of impact and influence, or you can, but you can certainly have a lot more if you got a little jack behind it. You know, cash is king. Yeah. And so we're looking for all of those things. And so to make a good first impression, I talk to people about, you know, their body language, their posture, not just posture standing up straight and holding our shoulders back, which is important, but our posture. Who are we being? What energy are we putting out? What are people feeling from us? And it all can start, George, with people just taking the time to actually be present in the room that you're walking into, and just watching other people. When you watch people, what is it about that person that is turning you on or turning you off? Because we all say something like, you know, I just don't like that guy. I just don't like the way he feels. Or, you know, that girl, I just get a bad vibe from her. Well, there's a reason for that. It's because there's something in their body language that we as animals are picking up on from way back in our ancestry day, when we had to know, was this person a threat or are they good people? Are they in our tribe or are they from another tribe? And so for us to understand body language and not go against it, but go with it, I like to say, use it to your advantage, not to take advantage, but to have the advantage in understanding how other human beings are, so that you can get into their tribe in an easier way and get into rapport. So that's the first step to a good first impression, is understanding body language and getting into rapport.
How many people have you actually helped, and what are they saying positively about what you do?
Great question. I have actually had a team of people, 10,000 strong, around the world, and personally have worked with hundreds, hand-to-hand, face-to-face combat, if you will, and tens of thousands from stages, from virtual stages, from calls like this. I'm really a face-to-face, belly-to-belly, handshake-to-handshake kind of person, doing it the old-fashioned way. Social media has been something that I've had to learn to embrace. There have been thousands of people that I work with, and you know, I mean, if there's bad lighting and a poor 30-second elevator pitch to be had and business cards to be passed out, I've been there, I've done that. I put them on, I've hosted them, I've attended them, I've done all of it, and I am here to tell you the 30-second elevator pitch is dead, my friend. I love to be the anti-elevator pitch person.
Sounds good. Sounds great. How many books have you written?
I am actually in the middle of getting my book, Mingle to Millions, which will be coming out in a couple of months. I got to get the thing edited. I've been playing with it for a long time. But Mingle to Millions
is your first book.
It is the first book. Yeah. Okay. I've written other stuff. I've written a lot of things that I wouldn't call books, but this is going to be the first book. Yeah.
You know, I was figuring with your, I mean, in your profession and the way you sound so, you know, like you've been involved in this for so long, and you have. It's just that I figured you had a book out there somewhere where people can come and get that book, buy the book and, you know, and read all about it. And I'm pretty sure it's coming out. What's the name of it, you say?
I have got the book. It is coming out. The book on networking. It's Mingle to Millions. I've been playing with the last part of it, but I created a system called the New Rules of Networking. So it's Mingle to Millions, Massively Increase Your Net Worth Through the New Rules of Networking. And the New Rules of Networking are what I talked about earlier with how we communicate, conversate, collaborate to create the income, influence, and impact. And there's a lot that goes into that. People come to me, they come to the events I speak at. I speak a couple of times a week somewhere in the country. I've got a couple mm-hmm. of events coming up in Boston in the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And they typically, they love to hear about creating conversation outside of the boring. What do you do? Hey, what do you do? 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 That's all people can seem to come up with when you get to a networking event. And by the way, networking, quote, events, we're networking all the time. Networking is not just an event that you go to and you leave. Networking is just mm-hmm. what we do. I mean, as human beings, we're mm-hmm. interacting. We're exchanging energy. We're exchanging ideas and thoughts and creating relationships. Networking doesn't have to be some big event that you dread going to, because my friends, we're doing it every day, all day long. It's just a matter of being yeah. intentional with it. Just be intentional, be on purpose, be prepared, be mm-hmm. present, be packaged properly, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Exactly, exactly. Do you, have you incorporated any of your life experiences in what you do?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, let's face it, everything, it was interesting. Mm-hmm. So I was just talking with a client about this today, because I was telling her, she's a massage therapist. And I said, you know, Deborah, I said, there is no such thing as competition. Anyone with the word competition in their vocabulary is coming from a place of less, of scarcity, of survival, of fear that there's not enough, that there's only $1, and you got to compete with this other person to get that $1. The fact is, there mm-hmm. isn't there isn't competition, because to your point, George, all the things I was telling her, I said, all the things in your life that make you who you are, there is nobody else just like you. You know, the people that you've met or you haven't met, the classes you've taken or haven't taken, the places you've gone or haven't gone, the experiences you've had or haven't had, there is nobody exactly like you. So I figured out a couple of years ago, I thought, you know what, all these classes I've taken and personality tests I've taken and all these hundreds of one-on-one people that I've worked with and thousands of people from stages and calls and all this mm-hmm. different stuff that I've done that, that at the time served a purpose in and of itself. Now I see it all as little fibers, little pieces of little like spider webs all coming together and creating the fabric that is me today. And so now I finally get it. I'm like, oh, that's why I took that class, because now I understand that concept, and that's what this person needs right now in this conversation.
Right? Yeah, or, you sound like...
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, you sound so enthusiastic. You sound like you really enjoy what you're doing.
I do enjoy it. And you know, one of the things that for me that makes me enjoy what I do is I know mm-hmm. it. Like, I know it hands mm-hmm. down. I know when I step on that stage, when I get on this call, I know there is not a question you can ask that's going to floor me. I'll give you an example. I was in front of a room about a month ago, and this guy says to me, he says, all right. He says, how do you get somebody on the phone when you've been trying to get them on the phone and you can't get them on the phone? I said, oh, okay, we've got a joker in the room. I said, first of all, this isn't about chasing people down. If the guy's not calling you back, there's probably a reason for that. Right. So end of story with that. But just to have fun with this, I'll give you an example and a way to get somebody on the phone. If you really, really, really want to get this person on the phone, and not from a place of manipulation or taking advantage or doing something mean to them, but you just want to get them on the phone to talk to them about business or create a relationship. You can always leave them a message that sounds something like this, George. Hi, George Wilder. This is Cammie Baker. You know what? I was just talking to your competition the other day, John Smith. And John was telling me that you, oh, look at that. The phone hung up. Right? So, oopsie, the phone got disconnected. Doesn't that happen to us all the time? Now George Wilder wants to call Cammie Baker back to find out, huh, what's George Smith saying about me anyway? So now, right? So now when you call me back, because now you're curious. People as human beings are just curious. We're curious by nature. Mm-hmm. Look, doesn't the phone drop on you sometimes? Of course it does. It's just a fun thing.
Of course it does. There's no doubt about it.
So now you call me back and you say, hey, Cammie, this is George. You said John Smith had something to say about me? Yeah, he did. He said, you're an awesome guy and you're just wonderful to play with in the marketplace. Listen, as long as I've got you on the phone, here's what I want to talk to you about. So, in other words, you know, this guy tried to throw me off track and say, well, how do you get somebody on the phone? Well, there's one fun little tip for you, and it works.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you're using it to have fun and to get the person on the phone. And, you know, hey, listen, not all of them work for everybody all the time. Not everybody's got gonads to do something like that. But I got to tell you something. When you're in real estate and you know that getting that guy on the phone is a $50,000 commission check in 6 months, you may just leave a message like that.
Yeah, but I want to say this. I don't think, and I know you don't mean any harm, but I don't believe anybody out there, whether they're a radio host or a television host, is competition to me. I think there's a lot of room for everybody out there. So,
I don't believe in the word competition because competition means means survival or fear. I'm just saying that's a fun example of somebody asking me a question to be able to think on my feet. Right. And come up with it. That's all.
But, you know, a lot of people think that. A lot of people think I'm in competition with other radio hosts or tell. I am not. I'm not in competition. And I don't know if they're in competition with me or not, because, you know, I'm not trying to outdo anybody. I'm just trying to be me. And I think that's a part of your platform in networking, is try to get people to be themselves and not to worry about what someone else is doing. Just do what you love doing.
Absolutely. And that's why I say, don't worry about the competition. Let the competition worry about you. If somebody wants to worry, let them do all the worrying and the competing. Mm-hmm. You just go out and collaborate, create relationships, do the best you can to be that powerful influence and impact that you want to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if people are, hey, you know, you're doing a good thing when you got haters, right? Because if you don't have any haters, then you're just, it's just because you're not trying hard enough, right?
Yeah, no, they're more interesting, I think. those who hate you and those who disagree with you and those who can't stand you, they're more interesting. I tell people all the time, if you disagree with something I say, great, that makes it more fun. It would be boring if you agree with everything that I say.
Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? I've said that before, too. You know, if we all did exactly the same thing, ate exactly the same food, dressed exactly the same way, went to exactly the same church, had the exact same pet, the same car, et cetera, how boring. What a vanilla life that would be. Thank God we throw some sprinkles on there and mix it up a little bit.
Hey, Cam, do you have a website where people can come and check you out?
Absolutely. So there's CammyBaker.com. I'll just leave it at that because it makes it simple. I'll always have CammyBaker.com, and it's spelled with a C as in Charles. C as in Charles, A as in Apple, M as in Mary, I as in Ingrid, CammyBaker.com. And that's where you can go to see what my events are and all that. Yep.
All right. Before we go, would you like a link to the show? Maybe you can put it on your website. Your the people that you help and the people that are in love with you can come by your show, come by your website and listen to you on this show. I can send you a link.
Absolutely. I would love to have a link to it, and I'll pop you out on my social media. I've got a few thousand friends myself and love to share the love and to collaborate because you see, you and I right now are living the new rules of networking. We were able to reach out one to another and have a little bit of communication, which has now turned into conversation. And it was fun. And now that we've collaborated a little bit, you know, now we know each other's name. Maybe there's something else to be created out of this. I don't know. Maybe the next time I'm in Chicago, we'll sit down at a Panera's and have a nice cup of coffee. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, we wouldn't know each other if we weren't able to communicate and conversate, right?
Right. And that's what you're all about.
That's it, my friend.
Cammy Baker on the George Wilder Jr. Show, thanks you so much. You are just great. You are marvelous. And I do hope we can do this again.
I appreciate your time, George. I appreciate what you're doing for the community. You keep rocking and rolling, and I'll get that link out to all my peeps. You take care.
Bye-bye. Take care. All right, Cammy Baker on the George Wilder Jr. Show. She was just totally awesome. I'm going to get that link out to her. And maybe a few hours after the show is over. We're going to do this. We will be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived.
Few generations, we Americans are called upon to defend our country, to defend it not so much from foreign dictators or war or terrorism, but from those here who have no commitment to progress or democracy or representative government, no commitment to anything except their own out-of-control minds and the bottomless pits of their egos. Our society has thrown up these people before. Joseph McCarthy, George Wallace, Father Coughlin, Jefferson Davis, Aaron Burr, the Know-Nothings, the Blacklisters, the America Firsters. And we have always thrown them out. And now our generation has its own, the most dangerous individual ever nominated by a major party for the highest office in this country. His base wants few details and fewer facts. They just want to burn it down and blame their failures on the collective other. And Donald John Trump is their demonic messiah in Oompa Loompa's clothing. We must stop him. It is not pleasant. It is not fair that we have to do this, but it is our turn. The average report in this series will ask for about 6 minutes of your time. This one needs nearly three times as much. The text version includes more than 160 links. I encourage you to read and save, because the emperor's new clothes quality to the Trump campaign has survived these 15 months, because as we react to each outrage, our shock and revulsion has been refracted like light through a prism. But these outrages are not separate events, not even a pattern. They are simply Donald Trump. Seen all at once, they and he are horrifying, and you must see them all at once. Thus, in brief, the story so far. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who attacked the Pope, who attacked John McCain for being captured by the North Vietnamese, who attacked Gold Star parents, Khazir and Ghazala Khan, and then juxtaposed their names with the phrase radical Islamic terrorism, who attacked Hillary Clinton as a, quote, bigot, who attacked her as brainwashed, as unhinged, as a monster, as the devil, as the most corrupt candidate ever, showing her face on piles of $100 bills and the Star of David, who attacked her as someone who Second Amendment people should do something about, as someone whose religion we don't know anything about, after he had explained he had never asked God for forgiveness, who attacked President Obama and implied he was a traitor, who attacked him as having been complicit in the Orlando terrorist attack, who attacked him for having lower approval ratings than Vladimir Putin, as if Putin's approval ratings could somehow be trusted, who attacked him as being born in another country, who attacked him as the founder of ISIS, then said that was sarcasm, then said it wasn't sarcasm, then attacked him again as the founder of ISIS, who attacked Carly Fiorina for her face, Hillary Clinton for her non-presidential look, Heidi Cruz for her appearance, Megyn Kelly for having blood coming out of her wherever, Mika Brzezinski as crazy and very dumb, neurotic, not very bright, who attacked the women who accused Roger Ailes of harassment, who attacked the women who choose abortion, and who said there should be punishments, who attacked a New York Times reporter because he had a condition that made his arms look atypical, who attacked Judge Gonzalo Curiel because he was of Mexican descent, who attacked Senator Elizabeth Warren over allegedly lying over her heritage to get into Harvard when she never went to Harvard, who attacked Senator Jeff Flake by saying he will not be reelected this year when Senator Flake is not up for reelection until 2018. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who attacked U.S. troops in Iraq and claimed they stole millions, who has attacked Ted Cruz's father and claimed he was connected to the assassination of President Kennedy, attacked Bill Clinton and claimed he was a rapist, who attacked Mexicans as rapists, bringing drugs and crime, who attacked African Americans and claimed they were all living in poverty with no jobs and schools that were no good, who attacked Harrisburg, Pennsylvania as a war zone, and attacked the United States of America and claimed it is in a, quote, death spiral. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who lied about opposing the war in Iraq when there is a tape of him supporting it, a tape recorded on the first anniversary of 9/11, who lied about opposing the war in Iraq during a speech in which he insisted, I will never lie to you, who lied about $6 million in charitable donations to veterans groups from his telethon, who lied about donating his profits from The Apprentice, about charitable donations from The Celebrity Apprentice, from Trump the Game, and to St. Jude Cancer Center, who lied about a plan to debate Bernie Sanders for charity, who lied about why he would not release his taxes because he was being audited, and then proved himself a liar by saying he would release his taxes if Secretary Clinton released emails, who lied about how much money his father gave him, helping him to get out of college, who lied about sending his private jet to ferry stranded U.S. servicemen, who lied about talking to the Attorney General of Florida, who declined to investigate Trump University after she had been given a campaign donation, who lied about his business in Russia, who lied about meeting Russian President Putin, who lied about offering childcare to his employees when it was childcare for his hotel guests, who lied about some people wanting a moment of silence for the murderer of five Dallas policemen, who lied about seeing thousands of Muslims in New Jersey celebrating 9/11, who lied about 9/11 hijackers sending their wives and girlfriends home to Saudi Arabia, who lied about thousands of Syrian refugee terrorists being secretly admitted to this country, who lied about the Chicago police urging him to cancel a rally, who lied about the Chicago police saying they could solve crime there with tough police tactics, who lied about how there was no drought in California, how he never said Japan should have nuclear weapons, how he opposed the ouster of Egyptian President Mubarak, how the unemployment rate is 42%. Who lied about ISIS making millions a week in selling Libyan oil, who lied about dozens of secret terrorist cases in this country, who lied that a protester who tried to rush onto his stage had ties to ISIS, who lied last May and again last week about refugees entering this country carrying cell phones with ISIS flags on them and phone plans prepaid by ISIS. Can you hear me now? The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who congratulated himself in two tweets and a press release for predicting terrorist attacks like Orlando while bodies still lay in the Pulse nightclub, who congratulated himself after the killing of Dwayne Wade's cousin, who congratulated himself on predicting Brexit, even though 3 weeks earlier he had never heard of Brexit, who congratulated himself on Republican convention TV ratings, even though those for his closing speech were lower than John McCain's, who congratulated himself by disseminating a video showing how much of that speech's total running time was taken up by applause, who congratulated himself on having the world's greatest memory, then 3 weeks later testified in a deposition he had no memory of ever saying that. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who has proposed that Russia or China should enact a Watergate-like hacking of Hillary Clinton's emails, who has proposed banning Muslims from entering this country, then said it was only a suggestion, then proposed it again, whose running mate has proposed banning members of other religions, who has proposed open racial profiling, who has proposed banning people from terror nations, saying, look it up, they have a list, who has proposed ideological certification for immigrants, who has proposed worse than waterboarding while praising how Saddam Hussein, Vladimir Putin, and Kim Jong-un handled protest and terrorism, who has proposed that American civilians be tried by military commissions at Gitmo, who has proposed killing the families of terrorists or suspected terrorists, a man who has proposed teaching mandatory patriotism in school, proposed that his supporters appoint themselves as Election Day voting monitors, proposed making American protection of fellow NATO members COD, whose campaign proposed purging the government of all Obama appointees, proposed avoiding government debt by printing more money, proposed reducing national debt by paying less than we agreed to, proposed forestalling new financial regulations by executive order, and then in the same speech, proposed eliminating some executive orders. A man who has proposed a wall.
Does Hillary Clinton try to defend herself on this now? Granted, she said she misspoke or she regrets saying that it was half of his supporters, but she hasn't backed away from the label itself, deplorable.
Yeah, it is deplorable when people are racist, and it is deplorable that there are people who are following Donald Trump who like Steve Bannon, the head of his campaign, is giving voice to people who are utterly racist. It is deplorable. David Duke is deplorable.
Is she painting with too broad a brush?
No, but what she
we
said
is
she
shouldn't rallies, have said... We go to these rallies, we see supporters who aren't racist, who aren't xenophobic,
course,
who are not
course.
Islamophobic.
And that's exactly what she said in that full remark, and saying by saying half she was wrong, is not half, but there is a strand that is really alarming so many people, that he's giving voice to this terribly dark underbelly of America that thinks it's perfectly fine to be Islamophobe or to ban Muslims or to who think that, you know, Mexicans or whatever. Pick your end of word. But there's a huge, an alarming percentage of people that I think many out there were not even aware existed until Donald Trump's campaign gave voice to them. But if you heard her remarks, she also described the people who are following the Trump campaign who have economic concerns. And that's a totally different population of people. And that's what she really wants to speak to, because she has concerns about globalization.
But are there some who see that as name-calling also? Governor, who worry that is also sort of the insulting sort of rhetoric that has turned some folks off from both of these campaigns?
I don't know. I mean, I think racism is deplorable. I have no problem with saying that. I have no problem with calling David Duke deplorable. I have no problem with calling people who wear the T-shirts you find at Donald Trump's rallies that use the B word and the C word about her deplorable. That is deplorable. That's not America. That's not who we are. And we should all say that is deplorable. You cannot do that. And we should be unashamed to say that. But it's not the full spectrum of America.
Former.
It is a slice, and it that slice happens to reside inside of Donald Trump's campaign.
Former Michigan. We'll be right back.
All right, bombing suspect. I believe I'm too close to the mic. Bombing suspect captured after shootout. Wow, authorities say that indication suspect was part of a larger network. Maybe ISIS, who knows? They're not sure. Anyway, a gun battle with police ended in the arrest of Ahmad Khan Rahami, something like that, in connection with the bombing in Manhattan and Seaside Park, New Jersey. Rahami was charged with 5 counts of attempted murder of a law enforcement officer related to the shootout in Linden, New Jersey. A federal law enforcement official said federal terrorism charges are also expected. So, you know, I mean, you just think the Muslim haters around the country, they're going to jump right back on that bandwagon that all Muslims should be banned from the United States. They're going to jump right back on the bandwagon. Maybe they never gotten off of it, but they're going to be saying that refugees should not be entering the United States. Illegals should be deported. And this is why Donald Trump, this buffoon Donald Trump, is so popular with some of his supporters. And it's coming. It's coming because this is what America is. They want a wall. And Donald Trump promises that wall. Donald Trump's saying right now that he's the best one to handle terrorism. Remember, he said something about he was going to, once he's president, he's going to stop Chicago's crime in a week or less. Ridiculous, but that's Donald Trump. You just got to listen to Keith Olbermann. And we're going to be hearing more of Keith Olbermann on this show from time to time because he's telling it just like it is. He's another one of those alumni from MSNBC, you know, but he's on his own right now and he's doing a great job, a wonderful job. And so they got this guy and he is, I'm looking at a picture of him right now. And Trump says no profiling might be needed. Clinton stresses resolve. On this, this terrorism, this latest terrorism incident, these two presidential candidates, they are so far off. Trump wants to build a wall, stop them from coming in. He wants to not vet them. He don't want to do it. Clinton, she's saying that we must have resolve. They can come in. You know, my thing is, I'm neutral on this. But I think that I think like so many other Americans that I don't think refugees should be coming into this country from Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, some of those other Muslim countries over there, unless they're vetted. I don't think we should be taking them in. I really don't. We don't know these people. I mean, but they're women and children and they're escaping their war-torn countries. You know, but how many children from some of these Muslim countries have strapped on bomb vest and blew themselves up while killing hundreds of other people? How many women from some of those countries have strapped on bomb vest and decided to kill, to give their life for Allah, killing lots of people? Blowing themselves up and killing lots of people also. You know, I mean, you have to be careful, I think. I think Obama and Clinton are careless with this. You know, like this guy, this latest guy, I think he's one of those refugees because he was from Afghanistan, from my understanding, but however, he was a naturalized U.S. citizen. He was naturalized. And then now they're saying that he was radicalized because he had visited Afghanistan, Iraq recently. So that's what kind of happened. So I am a little bit off the fence of trying to accept more people into the country without being fully vetted. You know, and this guy was he was an American citizen, although he was born in Afghanistan. He was a natural born citizen. Now, you never know how long he's had this on his mind. And a lot of people around him said he looked angry all the time. He was always looking pissed, mad and upset, you know. So he, you know, they got him, and that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with there's a lot wrong when these kinds of people do these kinds of murderous deeds and they are not apprehended. But this guy was apprehended. The police department and the authorities and the FBI, they were on this guy's ass until they caught him. I mean, this could have been an episode of 24. Who knows? But anyway, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And I'm not for Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, because I do think these are two candidates with enormous flaws. But as an American, I do not think that we should be accepting Muslims or people into refugees into the country from war-torn countries. We never know who we're letting in. But Obama and the Democrats, they don't seem to mind or don't seem to care, because they're saying, well, they're women, they're children, they're running from their war-torn countries. They want to make something of themselves. Well, that's good. That's good and patriotic and all of that. But, you know, you have to vet them, even the women and the children. You never know. I've seen videos of ISIS training camps where they are teaching little children, little kids, little children to shoot, to kill people, to strap on bomb vests. You know, so this is really, it was really astonishing to me. And so this is really happening. They're teaching babies how to shoot and kill the infidels. I've seen this. So you really, that argument that they're just women and children, you know, doesn't cut it with me, because they are capable of strapping on bomb vests and blowing up themselves along with hundreds of people in the name of their God or whatever, or hating the United States. So I am not for that. Maybe I was a few years ago, but you know, the terrorism and it is just too prevalent. It just seemed to happen all the time. Every time you look around, there's a lot of people being killed, and most of the time it's a Muslim. It's not a black. Black people just kill each other. But that's not funny. I'm sorry for laughing. But as for the refugee thing, I don't think it's going to work with me anymore. And it doesn't mean I'm taking Trump's side of it, because I don't think there should be a wall. You know, Mexico said, and we ain't paying for no damn wall. Trump said, yes, you are. Yes, you are. So we just have to wait and see what happens.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is all right, now you got it. On the air. All right. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me. You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening, and stay with me.
All right. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for tuning into the George Wilder Jr. Show. It is a blast. We were off for 3 days. I did some writing. I did some editing. I did some proofreading and some drafting on some stuff that on some writings that I actually already have up on Amazon. I always just like to try to perfect it if I can, but you know, I'm only human. Okay. Author Cam Baker. She was great. She was wonderful. I'm pretty sure I'll be talking to her again about whatever she does, and maybe we can get together and do something together. That could happen. That could happen. Bomb blast. We were talking about the bomb blast, but let's go to something a little lighter, a little calmer. The Bears football season is here. I think we mentioned that. It's, of course, it's here. The Bears are playing tonight, Philadelphia Eagles. And the game should probably start after I get off, after the show is over, after this episode is over. And I will bring you play-by-play by tomorrow, you know, on the show. So, and it's a lovely day. It's a beautiful day weather-wise. You know, try to make things a little lighter on the show because sometimes things can get so heavy, you know. And but it's a wonderful show. I love it. I love it. Just like I told Cam Baker, I'm not in competition with anybody. I'm not trying to outdo anybody on this show. It's just I just feel there's room for everybody who wants to do the show. If you want to be a radio host, go right ahead. There's room for you too. You know, there's room for everybody. And if this is something you want to do, do it. I mean, if you want to be host your own radio show, do it. Some people go to school for this. I mean, I didn't go nowhere. I didn't go to school for this. Some people go to school for this. They pay big bucks to learn how to be a radio host. And I didn't pay a dime. I am paying for the show. I mean, I do have overhead, but I didn't, you know, sit in a class or do a computer online class or anything like that. It just came natural to me. If I'm good at it, it's because I wanted to be good at it, and I strived to be good at it. I'm not good at what I do on this radio show because of what people told me or didn't say. I'm good doing this show because. And producing the show. I'm also the producer. So I do it because I want to do it. And I feel that I could do it. I mean, a lot of times I do things for myself because I feel, why would I pay someone else to do something that I can do and probably do it a lot better? You know, so my thing is, if you want to be a radio show host, I mean, if you feel you have the knack for it, if you feel that you can do it, do it. Do it. It's fun. It's really fun. And you can always call into other shows. I very seldom call into other radio shows, and I probably should. Probably will get more exposure that way, you know, but I'm so busy. I am totally busy. And I like being busy. It's fun being busy. But once, if you're too busy, you get too tired, you get too exhausted. You got to tell yourself to kind of break away from that and just relax. I was talking to a friend of mine today, and I said, you know, I mean, I've known him for years, and I said, what do you do for fun? You know, I mean, I've known him for years. And she said, work. I always work. That's the only thing came out. Work. I think work came out of her mouth about four times. Work, 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 work. I said, you know, I said, then I brought up that old saying, all work makes Jack or Jill a dull person. You know, she kind of agreed with that. But you know what? You can't. Yeah. I mean, you got to relax. You got to take time for yourself to relax and, you know, and pay yourself, maybe. Okay. Enjoy yourself. And you can't work. And make sure you enjoy what you're doing. She works every day, but she seems as though she did not enjoy it. You have to enjoy what you, obviously. Well, I work every day. I got a job. I got to work. You know, if you're going to have a job, if you're going to do something, enjoy what you do. If you don't enjoy it, quit and find something that you enjoy doing while getting paid. You got too many people out here right now working in jobs that they hate. I've done it, so, you know. I think the majority of the jobs that I've had, I didn't actually hate them. I may have not liked them as much. But you've got people working out here in all kinds of jobs, no matter what level it is, no matter what the title is, no matter what they're doing, they don't like it. They hate it. Why would you continue to do something you hate? You're just going to be miserable. And when you're miserable, you're going to make everybody around you miserable. So why would you want to do that? Find something you love doing and do it. If you're doing something right now that you enjoy, if you're actually into something that you enjoy doing and makes you happy, find a way to make money at it. I mean, if you like what you're doing, if you enjoy what you're doing, it's going to show. If you like what you're doing, you enjoy what you're doing, others are going to enjoy you also. Now, there's times on the show that I've said, do things for yourself. I mean, a few shows back, maybe a year ago, I was saying things like, if I can recall, I'm pretty sure I can. I was saying, do things for yourself. That means stop working for someone else and get out there and work for yourself. You know, why would you want to keep making someone else rich? Because that's all you're doing when you're working for someone else. You making them rich. And you dressing good, looking good, going around thinking that you're better than other people because you have a job and they don't, or you have a better paying job and they have a lower paying job. So you think that you're better than they are. You are no better than they are because you are working for someone. You are making that person rich. That person giving you a few pennies and you seem to be happy with it. But what you're doing is you're making that, if you're working for an employer, you're making that person rich. And then you're going around thinking you're better than someone else when you're making someone else's rich, when you're making someone else rich. Stop making someone else richer and get out here and open up your own business. Be your own entrepreneur. Be your own boss. Be your own supervisor. Hire your own staff. I know that's easier said than done. Believe me, I know it's easier said than done. But there is no problem starting out from the bottom. A lot of us, before we can work for ourselves, we have to work for someone else first. That's nothing wrong with that. We all do that. But you don't have to stay in the same rut for the rest of your life. Work for somebody for 5 or 6 years, 10 years, and then get out there on your own. While you're working for them, build your own next nest egg. Think of doing things for yourself, you know, and build it and go to the next level and hopefully open up your own business. I mean, I know so many people who have worked for other people, making them rich for 10 and 20 and 30 years. Go to work, come home, sleep, go to work, come home, go to work, come home. Go to work, come home, go to work, and for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. And suddenly, they get laid off their job. And then they find themselves out of a job and sitting at home. And you've wasted all that time working for someone else, making them rich, and they cared nothing about you. So the first thing you ought to be doing, and you should be doing, young person, old person, it doesn't matter. You're never too old to get out here. I don't care if you're 50, 60, 70, you're 80. You're never too – look at Bernie Sanders. You're never too old to get out here and do something for yourself, to open up your own business, start working for yourself, and leaving the rat race behind. If you're talented, you're smart, you're a go-getter, then you are the one to be a role model for a lot of other people who want to get out of the rut and do something for themselves and stop giving their time, their talent, all of this to someone else, making them rich, and they're kicking you in the ass. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show. This show is all about making the world a better place, one show at a time. That's what it's all about. It's a lot of fun. I love doing it. And I hope you guys enjoyed my guest, author Cammie Baker. She was talking networking and first impressions. And as always, there's always commentary on this show, political commentary or just commentary in general. 347-857-1762. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. All righty, here we got that clip. Okay.
Your president sent a letter out to every school district in America 2 weeks ago. Obama. Don't get quiet, because 8 years ago, y'all was dancing in the streets. Let's be honest. You was twerking, backsliding, somersaulting. We got Obama. We got Obama. Negroes ran around and said, we have arrived. The president is black. Now look at you 8 years later. Has done absolutely nothing for you or your children. I know he's president of all the people. I understand. But all the people are not gay, but he damn sure looked out for them. I understand he's president of all the people, but everyone in America is not a Latino, but he looked out for them. He's president of all the people, but everyone in America is not a woman, but he damn sure gave white women the Equal Pay Act. So why is it that he got to be president for everybody when it comes to us? But it's okay for him to just be concerned with gay folks sometimes. It's okay for him to just be concerned with Latinos sometimes. It's okay for him to just be concerned with illegal immigrants sometimes. He can pay particular attention to every other non-white community in America, but when it comes to you, you're not allowed to expect anything from him. So Obama sent this letter telling the school districts of America that if you don't want to lose your special ed money, and if you don't want to lose your JROTC money, and if you don't want to lose your No Child Left Behind money, and if you don't want to lose your Title I money, you must allow transgender children. This is 2 weeks ago. This is new news. You must let transgender students use the bathroom of the gender with which they identify. This is what's going on now. So by the new year in New York City, you're going to have a situation where a boy can go into your daughter's bathroom because he's in the process of changing his gender. You're going to have a situation where girls can go into the boys' bathroom because she's in the process of changing her gender. Now, here's my issue with this. I'm an educator. I'm a school principal. The schools are out of control enough as it is. There's no law and order in the high schools anyway. So how do you add further confusion? By now removing the sign off the door that says girl and the sign off the door that says boy and replace it with a sign that looks half boy and half girl, which basically says do as you please. Well, guess what, black folks? This is your fault more than Obama's. Because it was we who championed him and his election and stayed loyal. Even when he did nothing after the Trayvon Martin verdict. Stayed loyal when he refused to do anything about the systematic police extermination of black folks. You stayed loyal. Somebody said, we must protect him because he looks like us. Bill Cosby looked like your ass too. But you ain't rushing to help Bill. You let the bourgeoisie manipulate you and your loyalty into defending Negroes who are pro-status quo. Obama don't care about nobody in this room, but because you suffer from a paralysis of analysis And because you did not ask critical questions of him 8 years ago, our children will suffer from the aftermath 30, 40 years from now. Let me tell you why Obama was put in office. I want you to be clear. Every president is given a domestic agenda and a foreign agenda. Every president. Regardless if it goes in the White House next year, whether it's Hillary or Trump or whomever, they're going to be given a foreign mandate, a domestic mandate. Obama's foreign mandate was to open up Africa's resources to exploitation again. He did that with AFRICOM. America has recolonized Africa on a level we've never seen before under Obamaism. And our African brothers and sisters are just as brainwashed as you are. I was in Africa on the eve of Obama's first and second election. And I couldn't tell them brothers and sisters nothing. Just like you, they had an Obama psychosis. God sent them, Jesus sent them, Muhammad sent them. So when Obama came to their table, they opened up the resources because his daddy allegedly was an African. That was the foreign mandate. Take back Africa. Guess what the domestic one was? Check this out. 8 years ago, the United States government, Hillary Clinton, because she's a population control junkie, we're going to get to that in a minute, because a lot of y'all pro-Hillary. First of all, I disagree with anybody who creates a dichotomy of any white person or people whatsoever. To paint Trump as the devil means Hillary is an angel. You should not be doing that. You're confusing your children. Hillary is no better than Trump. They are the same when it comes to African people. There's no difference there. The difference is only in your mind. See, white supremacy operates through the names, the titles. They said power is the ability to do what? What is power? The ability to define reality and make the victims accept your definition. Like you. You believe you exist in freedom. What the hell is free about you? You're not free. Freedom is the ability to do exactly what white folks do, when they do it, and how they do it, economically and politically. Are you free to buy a home anywhere? Are you free to work wherever you want? Is your child free to go to school wherever you choose? You were never free. You were emancipated. Abraham Lincoln gave you an emancipation. But the 13 colonies declared independence. Why were the colonies independent, but Africans were emancipated? The word emancipation is a business concept that speaks to transfer of ownership. The 13th Amendment was a transfer, a business transaction between the owner and the government. The emancipation means that you no longer own them privately, but the whole country owns these Negroes publicly. Eight years ago, the white man said, we gotta find a way to push homosexuality. And we need to find a way to push the whole LGBT program in the black community to reduce their numbers and brainwash their children. But we have to do it in a way that they would accept. See, they have think tanks. The white man got think tanks. Think where they sit around and strategize, how do we push this on black folks? Because they said black people are largely not a homosexual people. Yeah, they've always had their gays in their family, but they know to stay in their damn place and keep that stuff out the view of the family. Am I wrong? Okay? We've had aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters, but they know you don't come out with that. We understand. But that shit don't see the light of day in this house. Right? That was the code. We used to have a code. So they said, how are we going to get black people to accept wholesale, out in the open, unrestricted homosexuality, unrestricted lesbianism, unrestricted bisexuality and transgenderism when this is not who they are? How are we going to do this? These people are not for that. The black church is not for it. They said, here's what we're going to do. George Bush's second term, we're going to ignore the Constitution that says separation of church and state. And we're going to allow the black church to start receiving federal grant dollars. And once the black church starts receiving shut up money from the government, they will shut up. That's preparation. Then we want to put Obama in office because Negroes have a self-esteem deficit, so that whenever they see somebody who looks like them, they stop analyzing their agenda and they stay focused on their skin tone. So while black folks are celebrating Obama, paying no attention to his policy, we're going to push the LGBT culture on the black community under the disguise of a black president who's really carrying out a gay agenda. And so the past 8 years, most of you have changed your position on LGBTism purely off of the basis of Obama's influence. Now, let me tell you what's interesting about Obama. His first term of office, he said very clearly at the podium, I believe marriage is between a man and a woman. If you don't believe me, it's on YouTube. Marriage is between a man and a woman. I will not consent to marriage being between anything other. This is Obama running for president, first term. Second term, he becomes the first president in American history to approve same-sex marriage. One was a setup, the other was a takeover. Obama was not put in office to be a reparation to you. He was not put in office because America is post-racial. Obama was put in office to do one thing and one thing only: get you to accept the LGBT takeover of the black civil rights movement. Are you aware that homosexuals have gotten more rights in 4 years than you've gotten in 400 years? Are you aware?
All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Obama don't give a damn people about black folks or Africa, okay? He is no friend of mine. I do not support him, and I will never support him, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. How in the hell this man spends the first 6 years of his 8-year term fighting like crazy to protect gays and lesbians. Fighting like crazy to protect Latinos and Mexicans. Fighting like crazy to protect illegal immigrants and women. It ain't do a damn thing for black folks. You can fight for the LGBT. You can fight for the white woman. You can fight for the illegal immigrant. You can fight for the Mexican, but you ain't got no love for me. Black men being shot down like dogs in the street, you ain't got no love for me. Trayvon Martin, Eric Garner, Michael Brown, you ain't got no love for me. I don't give a damn about a Barack Obama. And I don't give a damn about you if you love him, because the love of sellout makes you one. Some of y'all probably say, wow, Brother Umar, angry. I'm not angry, brothers and sisters. I walk light on my feet. I'm okay. I got 6 degrees, I work for myself, 2 beautiful daughters, I'm cool. I'm good. Never been to jail, I'm straight. I'm sure I'll go one day, but I'm straight right now, okay? I'm not angry for me, my life is cool. I'm angry for all the black men who got tripped the hell up, who couldn't have the life I got. I don't identify with educated Negroes, I identify with...
heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw. Heaven help us all.
All right. Okay. Oh, that's cute. That's totally cute. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're just about off the air. We got about a minute or so left. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show, joining in on the show, having fun with me on this show. And it's been great. It's been wonderful. I hope you guys join me tomorrow. We'll be right back. We're on Monday through Thursday, starting at 6 p.m. straight up Chicago time, Central Standard Time, to 7:30 or 8 o'clock, depends on what's happening. But anyway, they say I have 90 seconds to go into the show. So it's been great. It's been wonderful. Thanks to my guest, author Cammy Baker, for being such a great person and offering so much to my audience. And I do appreciate that. So you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're going to do this as we go out. Martin Luther King. So, no, we're not going to do Martin Luther King. I have a clip here of Martin Luther King, but maybe we'll do that probably in the coming weeks or the coming months. I want to say thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for podcasting. You can find me on Amazon.com. Thanks, everybody. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Hope to see you tomorrow. Hope in some ways like that. Hope you can be here tomorrow. Bye-bye.